The proposed expansion to the Rocky Mountain Industrial's limestone mine in Glenwood Springs has stirred up plenty of controversy. But a long road of regulatory checkpoints stands in the way of that expansion becoming a reality. As part of our series, Digging Deep, What Does RMI Mean for Glenwood Springs?, Alex Hager looked into what it takes for the project to get permits.
Taking a limestone mine from less than 20 acres to more than 400 is no small feat. Sure, it requires expensive and heavy machinery to move the earth, but it also takes years to work through a mosaic of environmental studies and permit applications just to get permission to dig. Russ Means works at the state's Mining and Reclamation Office, so he knows all about that.
It's not an easy process, and it's time-consuming, and it also costs a lot of money.
He runs the mineral program for Colorado's Mining Regulation Agency. It's just one of a handful of state offices that need to check out the proposal, run some studies, and give it a thumbs up before the expansion can go ahead. Parks and Wildlife will take a look at impacts to animal habitat. The Health Department and Division of Water will keep an eye out for pollution. Each one of those is its own process, taking time and expertise from consultants and scientists with each office.
We're kind of like an umbrella, and we are one stave of that umbrella.
And that is all just at the state level. When it comes to issuing permits, there's no agency that's more in the spotlight than the Bureau of Land Management. They're the federal office that runs a huge, comprehensive study on the application to expand, and perhaps presents the biggest hurdle to the mine becoming a reality. They write an Environmental Impact Statement, or EIS. Mary Beth Peacott is a spokeswoman for the BLM. She says that document runs the gamut.
We would be looking at what the impacts would be expected to water resources, surface and subsurface. We'd be looking at air quality impacts. We would be looking at visual recreation, the whole spectrum of resources that the BLM manages.
The agency calls in specialists to gather information on every aspect of the mine, whether that be drilling wells to sample the water and rock underneath, or doing what's called an ethnography study to assess if the land has any significance to Native American people. And to put together upwards of 150 pages of those results, that takes time.
So they are a lengthy document. It takes us usually a year to get through them.
If the findings in that EIS show the agency that an expanded mine would cause too much harm to the environment, they could say no to the permit, or give a yes with some conditions. But there's another reason activists and nonprofits consider the EIS so important. That's because it gives a number of opportunities for public comment. Julie Slivka is the conservation director at the Carbondale-based Wilderness Workshop. She says that starts early in the process with a scoping period.
The agency essentially comes to the public and says, we have this proposal. What do you guys think?
There's another big chance for residents and activists to weigh in when the BLM opens up comments on the first draft of its environmental findings. Mary Beth Peacott, who's with the agency, says it's not a chance for people just to say they disagree with the mine.
We're looking for substantive comments that bring new information to light that we didn't consider in the analysis. We're looking for faults in our data or things that we missed.
We won't know what the study found until the BLM puts out that draft. But one analyst says it's already not looking good for RMI. Their best chance of getting the expansion approved was under the Trump administration. Jesse Prentice Dunn is policy director at the Center for Western Priorities, a conservation and advocacy group in Denver. He says Trump's government was willing to strip environmental protections and shut out the public. With a new president, whose BLM is expected to use more time and scrutiny when it comes to environmental protections, Prentice Dunn called the application dead in the water.
The project already doesn't have much going for it in terms of the merits and the environmental impact, but even if it were a close call, I think it'd be shot down by a Biden administration.
He said the proposal faces an uphill battle on the regulatory front. That's because of the destructive nature of the mine, the expected volume of public comments, and the steep cost RMI is going to pick up by slogging through a lengthy permitting process. I asked RMI CEO Brian Fallon what he was most worried about going forward. He said, timing. As long as the mine is working its way through permitting studies, it is not making any money for the people who own it.
In this process, it really is going from one piece of the puzzle to the next, and we want to make sure we can get through those quickly so that we can ultimately see the value with the expansion.
But based on the long list of permits ahead, it may be a while before any shovels break ground on that expansion. Alex Hager, Aspen Public Radio News.